Aloha, everyone. And as every day and every session, we come back to our heart and we take a deep breath with our heart. And with the next breath, we invite in the feeling of celebration. And a feeling of completion. And maybe that makes you smile a little bit. And this is the energy that allows for deeper integration of everything that's been happening. We had a beautiful day on the water today. I loved how the sea looked like somebody painted it. And then you add dolphins and turtles to the mix. And in the morning we experienced rhesus dolphins and the serenity, the peacefulness, and the heart communication that they represent. And most of you got in the water with them, and some of you got to see them underwater. And I love how somebody called them the Zen dolphins. They're like masters of peace. And then in the afternoon we had another pod of very playful, but at the same time very peaceful, common dolphins. And for me that was a special experience because I got to see other people on our boat get into the state of dolphin bliss. And I was one of those. So I just want to, for all of us that feel gratitude, bliss, joy and celebration right now, to radiate that into the heart of our human pod here. If it's already in your heart, then it's in the heart of the whole group here. And feel how that strengthens the heart of our human pod. And then we add a feeling of celebration that Gaia has for us. Can you feel that? The island celebrating us. Gaia knows we're here. She feels us. She loves us. And she celebrates our very existence. So we take another deep breath as we add that energy to the resonance of our human pod. And then we open our human pod heart to yet another resonance of the beautiful energy of Master Crayon. Thank you.
Greetings, dear ones. I'm Crayon of Magnetic Service. This is the 10th channel, the final one of the Azars series. We are on the small island of Pico still. This was an eventful day as well, where many experienced the joy, the bliss, and actually felt a connection with the dolphins. The sea was quieter, the sun shone, and Gaia really blossomed for so many. For those in this group, before they go to bed tonight, perhaps they will raise their hands and say, "This was a good day. I was in the right place at the right time." We have spoken for 9 channels about so many different things. We've spoken of the islands, the Lemurian connection, the Gaia connection. We've spoken of the purity of the grid in this area and how so many can feel it. We've given information that we haven't before about the dolphins and the whales and why it is that humanity in general starts to revere them and protect them, where it wasn't that way as literally 50 years ago. We've talked about the connection to the Akashic record. We've mentioned many things, but this channel is different. It's different. For those of you who have experienced this personally, are you aware that there's something far larger than just this particular phenomenon of consciousness with these animals? Did you think that there perhaps is a bigger clock? And when I say that, I mean that what you've experienced in these days is one piece of something far, far larger, more than a system, a plan. You've experienced a connection with these animals, and you've been told that they have a consciousness that is different from any other animals in the world, any of them. And you take a look and you want to know, what is it? Could it be spiritual? Could it just be physical? Whatever it is, you sit and you love it, and there are those who want to do it over and over and over. But have you really sat to think about, what if it is one tiny gear in a beautiful watch of the universe, or of humanity, or the solar system, that is special? And you just got to see this one special thing. And so the subject of the channel is, why spirituality? Why should someone even listen to this channel? There are many who come across my voice perhaps for the first time, and they would listen for a while, and they would say, "Well, it's not for me. There's nothing here for me." They would say, "I have a good life. I feel I know what I'm doing. Yes, there have been issues. I've gotten through them. I'm surviving. I'm okay." And that's the end of it. And I will tell you right now that in an old energy earth, all of humanity until 2012 mostly had that attitude. Then there are others that say, "I don't need your information, Crayon, because I'm in an organized system." Let me tell you, dear ones, that organized religion is not what we're speaking of. organized religion will give you the rules of the do's and the don'ts, and be careful. But they're not going to give you core spirituality. And that's what we're speaking of. And then there are so many who say, everything that you do, as one you would call spiritual or esoteric or New Age, is just so bizarre. I don't want any part of it. I've heard of some of the things you believe, and I don't want to go there. Why should someone, anyone, listen to these words? In the past, if you've run across a preacher, perhaps, or somebody who would give you information about a system, perhaps, they will say, you must do it, or you'll be punished. And so there is the fear aspect, and then you listen, don't you? And everything I've told you, in every time I've told you, in every way I've told you, there has not been one time when I said, you must do this. I've never told you about a fear scenario. Instead, there's the invitation of discovery of self. Brian, what does that mean, discovery of self? I would like to tell you, dear ones, that there is a plan. There is not just a system. You can call it that. Parts working together for the common good are more than a system. It's a plan. It's a universal plan. And it's greased with love and compassion in a way that you can't understand if you're standing for the outside. Spirituality and the study of it allows you to find things you don't know are there, unless you're willing to look and listen. What I mean by that is this. Even the one who says, I'm doing fine, I've had my troubles, I'm okay, I'm surviving. Dear ones, is that the goal? Is okay and surviving the goal? Your culture may say yes. That's all you've got. You find happiness when you can, and you survive. And I will tell you that is such a linear approach to a magnificent life that you have. This plan I'm speaking of is an awareness of what's around you and the question you may have, is there more than I was told? Could it be that I've hit that wall I spoke of before and never really examined the things that go beyond the reality that I know? Is it possible that there is an easier way, a path, because of things that are esoteric? Is it possible that I could have dodged the bullet, as they say, of the difficulties I've had if I had known more about myself? Is it possible that I would know more about what to do than I do now? Is it possible that my life could have been changed or extended even if I knew what path I should walk because of what's around me? I've used the example so many times of walking through darkness and just feeling your way. And when you come across something, you stumble into it, you get up, but you survive, don't you? What if you had a light and you didn't have to stumble? That is the study of self. I want you to make just a moment a visualization of a fine clock. It can be as big or small as you wish, but let's say that you are able to put yourself into it and watch everything work. You become the size, perhaps, of a tiny little ant, and you're watching everything around you. And the precision of this clock is astonishing. It's obviously the Creator has spent some time with every single piece. And it's so fun to watch it mechanically. It's almost like the parts are enlightened. They are aware of what's around them, almost alive, as you see the windings click, click, click in perfect synchronicity. And then at a certain time, after so many clicks, something happens, and they do it again and again. And it's so precise and beautiful. There's a plan there. Now I present another clock. If you could name the first clock, it's an enlightened clock. That second clock is not. And that second clock, if you could look at it, is hard to watch because each piece does its best, but it's not shaped quite right. It doesn't know itself. It doesn't know why it's there even. But it's still part of the clock, and it still works, and it still survives. And it's interesting to watch the pieces work together or not. If they're not aware of each other and they don't know the plan of the clock, they bump into each other. Now you might say, well, how does a clock part bump into each other? Imagine the gears are not quite the right shape and they break. And they'll, instead of interfacing with the other one, they'll bump it and they'll break. Some may actually be destroyed and fall. Others will take the place and then go through the same thing. And so the clock exists, but very poorly. Not only that, it's stressful. When the parts don't know who they are or what they're doing, they simply survive. But the clock keeps ticking poorly, but it does. I think you know what I'm talking about. A person who discovers self, looks at esoteric things, is one who decides to journey into an unknown that becomes known. It's a journey that must be something you want to do. It doesn't happen to you without something pushing it. Sometimes there is a spontaneous awareness because you're put in a situation. Other times, you're simply listening and you have an idea that there is more. And you start asking, how would I find out? That is how you find out. This is the process, and we've told you before. When you start looking, your soul knows it. Free choice of the human being is to look or not. It's simple. That's your choice. If you don't want to look, you'll survive or not, but you'll have a life. If you start looking, dear ones, you will see the pathways based on knowledge that you don't have, that you have to discover. Did you have a past life? Did you interface with others? What did it mean? How does it affect this one? What has it shown you? Can you use intuition in order to find the path that is clearer for you? Can you expect chance? That's a big one. Do you expect synchronicity? Others say accidents of meeting people that do things for you and with you. Like the right partner, for instance, the right job, for instance. Did you know that's part of a spiritual plan? It's not an accident. Have I got your interest yet? I want to take you to a place, finally. It's not a real place, it's a metaphor place. It's interesting, isn't it? That almost all humanity believes in the afterlife in some form or some way. And in addition, they place on that afterlife something that happens after you die. There's going to be some kind of meeting. Don't you find that interesting? That organized systems, esoteric systems, all of them, see you coming together at some level after a life. In some systems, it's a judgment, where your soul, if it doesn't come up to specifications, will then be tortured forever. By the way, I'll say it again, that is not the loving God who made your soul. That is not in the plan. It never was. It never will be. That is a children's story. That comes from humanizing God. That comes from your culture, from your father, from your government, from your systems. That's humanism. That's not compassion. Every single human expect something to happen after death. So let's go there. Let's go there in a metaphor. Let's see you after you've lived this life. You're with others. And you have this meeting. And it's a meeting of joy, always. You've come through Earth yet again. You'll have a planning session with those or others. And the light has been turned on. And what I mean by this, you know everything. And you're sitting down at this beautiful table. Call the table the sky, if you wish. Or the mantle of compassion of God. You're sitting at it as a soul. And you're discussing what happened. And you go around the table. You've got plenty of time. For there is no time. And you're going around the table and you hear the discussions. How was it for you? And the one soul, they said, well, my name was Frank, and I didn't find it. And there's no sorrow, but everybody understands what Frank means. Frank walked through life yet again without looking past the survival. Frank didn't go into looking for himself or asking some of the esoteric questions of the universe. Did I live before? What's the purpose of a soul? Is there more than I was taught? Could it be that there is beauty in everything? Is it possible that Frank could have learned he was magnificent? Instead, Frank learned he was born dirty. And Frank says, I can hardly wait to get back because I know there's a new energy. And I know what I know now. And when the veil comes down and I'm a human again, I can hardly wait to work the puzzle because I know I can find it. I know I can make the right choice. Around the table, 80% of those who had died in perhaps the past day or so and were meeting together now as souls had the same story. Until the one soul. And the one soul said, my name was Sally. And I found it. Oh, there's so much cheering. They're so pleased with one another. And Sally tells her story. And she says, I started looking. I wasn't young. I had spent the time with my children. Like so many young people, they're busy. But just shortly after that, I started awakening and asking the questions and talking to people because I became curious. Could there be more? And there was. I learned through my life the potentials of my past and what created some of the problems I had as this soul walking the earth. I found out, and because of that, I had joy and was able to find a better path that didn't have those pitfalls in them. I found my plan. I found that creative niche that I always thought I could be. I could write. I could paint. She said, I never thought of that. I had the intuition. And then the ones I met, oh, it wasn't an accident. that I met the right people. My life was blessed because I knew I was magnificent. And there was silence at the table until one soul who said, "My name was John. John, I would like to meet you, whatever gender you're going to be. Could we make an arrangement the next time we come down? Could I be in your town, somehow meet you through synchronicity?" And Mary, or Sarah, or Sally, whoever you're going to be, or Frank, or John, would you tell me about it? And this tells you something that the souls knew, dear ones, and now I'll reveal this. You cannot go backwards into consciousness from lifetime to lifetime. You cannot go backwards in consciousness from lifetime to lifetime. If you've had a shamanic experience, dear ones, you may not be a shaman today, but you remember there's something more. It pushes you to look. And so all of those who had made it and found it and had found themselves and started that process of awareness, every single one of them was going to go back aware. Not all of them would be shamans. Not all of them would be perhaps interested in metaphysics. Some of them would be what I call closet light workers. They'd know it. They just weren't participating. But they knew it. Oh, they knew it. And so here was the plea of the one soul that said, "Come with me. Let's make an arrangement so when I come back, I'll find you. I'll find you in some way and listen to you talk and realize that I want what you have." That's the plan, dear ones. And some of you in this group know it. Some of you don't. But the free choice is this. You've heard how it works. You can go further right now than anything you've done. This story of the dolphins, this awareness that you have, this joy you feel, is a part of the clock. This is expanded 100,000, 1,000,000 times as you start to meet the other special things, just like this one that you've discovered in so many different ways that are part of this pristine, aware clock that almost works by itself because it knows it's magnificent. Why spirituality? It's the rest of the story. That's why. Think on these things. And so it is.